Okay, welcome to the Jim Freitas Talk Show, everyone. Of course, I am your host, Jim Freitas, and if you were here last week, our narrative, of course, was 12-21-12, and this week I have been working very hard to get a very special lady on our show, Kristen Ann. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She wrote a book called Exploring Sacred Space, and why don't you go ahead and inform our guests, our listeners, what Exploring Sacred Space is all about.
All right, Jim. I wrote the book because so far what's been out there about 2012 has been all speculation and mostly negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing to be afraid about. I have acquired a lot of in-depth information that's much more accurate. I give details in my book, which you mm-hmm. can see at
right.
exploringsacredspace.com.
Mm-hmm.
We are definitely living in very unusual times.
Mm-hmm.
We have all planned to be here at this time, and as futuristic and space age as this will sound, we are going to be passing into a higher dimension. Everything will be fine.
Can I stop you right there?
Sure.
Just 1 second. You said we're going to move up into a higher dimension. I was reading somewhere something along that line recently that we are in the third dimension. And scientists and researchers have discovered that there were 11 dimensions. And then just recently, more recently than that, they now corrected that and said there's 14 dimensions and that we would be moving into the fourth dimension. Now, is that what you're leading us to?
I specifically don't know which dimension. I want your listeners to get a piece of paper, because I'm going to give you some things to write down, and you can do searches on this later. I recently saw a video. Do a Google search on Princess Kaoru, K-A-O-R-U, and also type in Pythagoras.
Let me write that down, K-A-O-R-U,
Japan Princess. K-A-O-R-U,
okay.
Pythagoras, P-Y-T-H-A-G-O-R-U-S. Princess Kaoru spoke at the Pythagoras conference. If you just type in those three words, though, you'll
uh-huh.
get a link to her speaking. And
mm-hmm.
she talks about her third eye opened, and what this means is she became clairvoyant.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my information comes from clairvoyants who were
mm-hmm.
able to see what's going to
mm-hmm.
happen. So this is why I mean that the information
mm-hmm.
I give in my book is very important, because it goes beyond speculation. It tells
okay.
what is going to happen.
Right.
Anyway,
Rudolf Steiner one of your clairvoyants?
Excuse me?
Is Rudolf Steiner one of the clairvoyants
yes.
you're talking about?
Rudolf Steiner was a very gifted, profound clairvoyant that I studied for years, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Princess Kaoru said that we were going to pass into the fifth dimension.
The, oh.
So like I said, I don't know exactly what dimension, but
okay.
there will be a time when we will pass into a different dimension.
Okay.
And I, yep. in my book, I give, I show a graph of the time wheel,
mm-hmm.
which is very important, because when I was studying at the Rudolf Steiner Waldorf Institute in the mid-70s, I also had a clairvoyant professor there, and I explained some of the fascinating classes
uh-huh.
that we had there and the things that he just told us. It was truly a mystery school. We just learned the most profound, in-depth information.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he said, and this is very important because on right now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the classes, his name was Werner Glass, and he said, Christ is returning in your lifetime, and his name, his soul name, his ancient soul name is Maitreya, and that is spelled M-A-I-T-R-E-Y-A. M-A-I-T-R-E-Y-A. Now, unfortunately, different fundamentalist groups have heard that name and gotten all excited and frazzled and worried and somehow mistakenly, very mistakenly, associate it with forces of darkness or evil.
Mm-hmm.
It is not. It is another name for the Christ being.
Mm-hmm.
Who both overshadowed Buddha, which is why Buddha is also called Maitreya Buddha, and overshadowed Jesus when he became Christ.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, this great being is coming back, and Werner explained that at the same time that Christ made the decision that he would have to come back in a physical body, which is, after all, dangerous, even for a high being, because they immediately attract forces of darkness
mm-hmm.
that try all they can to destroy them or make their life difficult. And we can see this at work in the life of Jesus.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and any very good people. Anyway, he explained that when Christ decided that he would have to return in a physical body, not just help from the spiritual world, that 42 other masters made the sacrifice to return also.
Mm-hmm.
And they are living among us now on earth. And this is very, very rare for so many masters to be in bodies on mm-hmm. any planet at one time. So we are very fortunate. And what I want to try to explain is that the future is therefore always changing.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we call the future, everything is written out on something that sounds very esoteric, but it's called the Akashic Records.
I've heard of that. It's also referred to as the Book of Life in the Bible.
Right. It's also called by some people the Matrix, something that surrounds the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that prophets from ancient times, when they looked into the future, even subconsciously without realizing it, they were reading or clairvoyantly knowing the future from the Akashic Records.
Right. If you
now,
go, I'm sorry.
The confusing thing that I'm trying to explain is that because there are so many masters living on the planet right now, the future is always in a state of change.
Mm-hmm.
The future itself is always changing because of the decisions and the actions that the masters are performing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I believe that the planet has been in such danger that the mere fact that we're here, even that the planet is still in existence, despite all the, you know, the crazy people around the world trying to blow it up and the dangers
yeah.
that we have with so many bombs, the mere fact that we're here, I think, and a lot of real respected people believe, is because of all the mediation and things that the masters are doing behind the scenes to transmute anything bad and avert anything bad that they can to keep us here,
mm-hmm.
because this major transition that is coming up is a major point of destiny that we have always been working toward for millions of years on this planet. And what I understand is that we are going to be transitioning into a finer dimension, so that our bodies will become less physical itself. However, there will be a split, actually, split in realities so that actually the people whose energy is not good or is too heavy will continue their existence on a physical planet, on a third dimensional planet. And we will transition to a higher dimension. What was referred to in the Bible as the new earth. And what Eckhart Tolle also...
Well, yeah, that's right. That's in the book of Revelation, isn't it?
Right, the new earth.
Mm-hmm.
And Eckhart Tolle also wrote a book called The New Earth.
Who was that?
He wrote, excuse me?
Who was that again?
Eckhart Tolle, T-O-L-L-E. But my favorite book of Tolle's actually was his first one. It was more powerful. A New Earth is really geared toward most of humanity to mm-hmm. try to teach them to get over their negativity so that they will be in a position to make it to the earth. Because what all these masters have been working for silently in their own ways, behind the scenes, incognito, mm-hmm. is trying to start and put into action any groups, any activities sort of in the vein of the New Age,
mm-hmm.
so that we can proceed into the New Age fully, onto the new earth with a higher energy so that we can elevate our energy as much as we can to make it to the new earth. And Princess Kaoru spoke also about how this is very important to raise our energy, to purify our condition. You know, one of the things she mentioned, besides, examining your heart and just forgiving, because when you forgive, you become lighter and you excel and evolve your own spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that she mentioned from a physical level is to do not drink anything from aluminum cans, because she says that aluminum is poisonous, and it is poisonous. Actually, you should throw away all your aluminum cans or aluminum pans or anything aluminum.
What I've heard is that is linked directly to Alzheimer's.
Right. It's linked directly to Alzheimer's and to cancer. And it is an element that lowers the vibration of our body.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was just one thing. Another thing I wanted to mention is meditation is very important, an important way of elevating your energy. And maybe we can talk some other time about meditation and meditation techniques. But if you go to exploringsacredspace.com, I do have a chapter on meditation.
Okay.
And different forms. There's a lot of information in that book, as well as information on how to prepare for this event that's going to happen. One thing that Warner explained is, and that Princess Kaoru explains, is that there will be 3 days of darkness. 3 days of darkness that happen. Now, no one knows the exact time or date, mm-hmm. so I am not saying that firmly it's going to happen on December 21st, 2012, though because scientists are saying that there is a rare alignment of planets that happens
right.
only once every 26,000 years. And this is the exact time wheel that I have given in my book so you can understand this.
Mm-hmm.
It was first shown to me at the Waldorf Institute, and it was first drawn out by the ancient Hindus and Tibetans. I'm suspecting that on this date, since it was also, you know, stated by the Mayans that time will be different as of this date, I suspect that something will happen then. Princess Ka'oru says that the 3 days of darkness will begin on December 22nd.
Well, that's also in the Book of Revelations, too, about 3 days of darkness, I believe.
Right, 3 days of darkness.
And the thing that when you were talking about the 3 days of darkness, and then I had a question I was going to ask you, and then something just popped up on my screen, and I just lost my whole train of thought. Isn't that wonderful?
Jot it down next time.
this Skype, you said you don't have it. There are just things popping up on it, and I was reading that and trying to get my train of thought back, so I'm going to have to let you go back on. I was going to talk about something to do with the 3 days and the transition that we're going from this dimension, and you said she mentioned the fifth dimension, and I had read somewhere where it said when we go into the fourth dimension. So I guess there's a lot of different information.
Right. The exact dimension isn't the important part.
Right. But the idea is we're going to make the transition, which is what you're talking about.
What?
We're going to make this transition, which is what your book is all about, right? It's about the transition.
Right. Explaining what will happen and how to prepare. There's a lot of information in the book that needs to get out now so that people understand what is going to happen. It is going to be fine for everyone whose energy is at a certain level. And now I want to explain that in addition to the other dimensional beings known as the masters who are living among us incognito, mm-hmm. And perhaps some of us may have come across them. You know, if we've ever met someone who seemed very, very different or seemed to appear in a crowd and just be different, sometimes it makes you wonder. I feel like I met some. But in addition to these beings, this is something else that I explain in detail in several chapters.
Mm-hmm.
There are extraplanetary beings also coming to Earth and present on Earth incognito among us who are going to be helping with this transition. And the whole sort of disinformation that has been put out about aliens to kind of make people either afraid or think you're crazy if you speak mm-hmm. about it.
Oh, yeah. And I remember as a young boy growing up in the 40s, 50s, and the 60s, 70s, even into the 80s, if you talked about UFOs or aliens, people would, the military actually didn't want people talking about UFOs and aliens. And I remember, and I'd mentioned this last week on my show, that while I was in Germany, I actually witnessed a UFO that had crashed on our base, and another one before that had crashed right near our base.
That what
was
base
the
was that?
Our Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany.
What and, city is that?
I'm sorry?
What city is Ramstein?
Oh, that's near Landstuhl and Kaiserslautern there were three towns around it. Kaiserslautern was the biggest city at that time when I was there. Landstuhl was just a small little town. So
were you able to actually see it then?
Absolutely. They put us on guard. We were guarding it in the woods where it had crashed when they were bringing in the equipment to actually put it on the back of a flatbed. And they covered it. This was a small one. This was just a circular disc. The
Did
other
you
one
see
crashed.
Or hear anything about any occupants, any aliens?
Yes, they found some. They found two in that one, and then the other one they found dozens. Now, the Air Force has a, I think it's called a cryogenic lab in Ohio somewhere, and someone emailed me on one of my shows when I was talking and mentioned, I think it was Wright Patterson, and I forget.
Yes,
anyhow, they had shipped these bodies there. They've been there for years. And in fact, back in 1947, when the flying saucer crashed in New Mexico, the Roswell incident, there was a young boy with his father, the lieutenant, who was in charge of collecting all the information. He says, when I was there, he says, and he was interviewed on television, he said, I saw the bodies of these little gray aliens. They were not human. He said, and the next day, Colonel, he told the newspaper that that was not a spacecraft. It was a weather balloon. So
right,
they tried
right.
to.
They changed they, their story. First,
yeah, they tried
said,
to cover this
told
up
the media
ever since.
That it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ever since then, they've been trying to cover up all the incidents. Project Blue Book, I don't know if you're familiar with that
right,
one. That
right.
was an Air Force project, and they were ordered under the Freedom of Information Act to release all that information to the public. But what they did was they took all the material that they didn't want the public to have, and they put it in another book called Project Black Book. So they withheld a lot of information and gave the public a lot of nothing. Then they made a television series out of it, and it was just a lot of garbage. And I know for a fact that the military did not want the public to know about aliens and UFOs and everything. The technology that we're getting from a lot of our military stuff is actually coming from these UFOs and from actual encounters. Now, I don't know
right,
if you want
right.
me to go on with this or let you go on with it, but even back in 1943, I was talking about the Philadelphia Project. Now, there were six survivors on that. I don't know if you remember that. And I think the gentleman's name, Biver, I think. He's on the Internet. If you look up Philadelphia Project, you can find it. Now, he was alive in 2009. I haven't followed up to see whether he's still alive. He was in a care home in Florida. And he has a website. Honest to God, it scared the living bejeebers out of me when I read what he had to say.
What is
because,
his website?
Well, I'm sorry?
What is his website? Do you know?
It's on his, when you go in to Philadelphia Project, you'll see him. He's the one of the six survivors. He comes right up. I'm trying to offhand. I don't recall the website, but you link right to it from there to his website. And he actually, according to the information I read, met with aliens on the ship that he was on. Now, when the ship took off, when it was supposed to, you know, like on Star Trek, you know, they beam me up, Scotty.
Right.
Well, that's what this was all about. It was beaming the ship from Philadelphia, from the harbor to Norfolk, Virginia.
Right.
The ship made
it. But
it ended
up. It ended up transferring it to the future, actually.
But everybody on the ship died except these six men. Did you get that?
Yeah, I didn't realize. I knew that some of them died, but I didn't hear that.
They all died except six men. According to the information I got, there were six survivors. Mm-hmm. And the military hushed it up big time.
Right.
I mean, they did not want – there was a producer in Hollywood that made a movie. He said the Navy refused to cooperate. You know, the military loves to make movies – with Hollywood, but this is one time that the producer said, and you can read this on that website, he said they refused to cooperate. They would not assist in any way, shape, or form.
Right. The Philadelphia Project, Philadelphia Experiment, it's called.
Yeah,
really
right.
Really did happen, and people should get the video on it. It's, you know, it's sold as fiction, but much of that video, much of
he has a
video
that he's got on Kristen.
Facts.
He's got a video on his website you can buy, and it's not fiction. And I've been wanting to order that.
The one survivor are you talking about?
the Lone Survivor. Yeah, he's got a video, and he gets into it very deep. I read the whole thing. There's several different web pages you can go to, and there's a lot of information. But I have, like when I was in the Air Force, we surrounded the woods. They took us out in our trucks and these big six bys, they call them, and they put us around the woods. Normally, now Air Force, we always go to the flight line to defend the aircraft in case of, like, if the Russians were going to attack us. This was back in 61, 62, right? And we were right near the Russian border. And we'd always have the Russian planes crossing over, and we would go to the flight line to protect the planes. Our job was to get the planes off the ground, okay, protect them, protect the pilots, make sure they got off the ground. We went to the woods. And I asked the lieutenant, how come we're going into the woods? He just said, pipe down and do your duty. Do what you're told. And
right.
He didn't say anything else after that. We got up and we got into our where they assigned us. And I saw the trucks coming in with the lights. You know, you can see all the lights and the boom crane and everything. I went over to the canal and I looked over and I saw what I didn't want to see. My partner, they always put you in twos. I was on one side of the road. He was on the other side. What is it? I said, I ain't going to tell you because you won't believe me if I tell you.
Yeah.
You know, here we are, two 18-year-old guys, and who's going to believe that you saw a flying saucer? In those days, people thought you were nuts.
Right.
You were crazy.
Anyway, I just found the site. It was Al Bielek.
Yeah,
if you just do a Google on the Philadelphia Experiment Survivor,
and
you can come up with this. But what I wanted to explain was that I met in 1977, I met Dan Fry, who had been a contactee in the 50s.
Uh-huh.
And Dan and I became friends. I met him in Alamogordo, New Mexico, I heard of him and read his book when I was passing through town in Alamogordo, and people I was staying with said that they knew him, and we got into a conversation about UFOs, because I just sort of clairvoyantly picked up that there had been some in that area when I came into town. So I was going on to Phoenix, and it so happened that at that time, Dan Fry was living outside of Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
So, times were much simpler then. I explain all this in detail in my book. I gave him a call when I got in town. He said, come on. I said, I'd love to speak with you about your encounter. He wrote books explaining his encounter when he actually met an alien. So he said, sure, come on up for the weekend. So this was on a Thursday. The next morning I was catching a bus to Tonopah, Arizona, where he was living at the time. And I have a picture of that community. He lived in circular buildings with UFO roofs, and I have pictures of him in the book.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, he explained to me what the aliens told him. And these were some very fascinating things about how they will be helping with the transition. And, you know, he told me that they asked him in the very beginning, before they even came down, they would communicate telepathically. And they wanted him to get them books on every subject from the base library, which he did, and they would teleport them, copy them, and have them back the next day. And they told him that the most fascinating book to them was our Bible. And they explained how their ancestors were often mentioned in the Bible as angels. And they were working, you know, for the light. I mean, angel simply, the word angel, the Greek word angel simply means messenger.
Messenger,
and that's
right.
What they were acting as. They were acting as angels, as messengers of the force of light. And one of the very, very intriguing, just one, the rest of them are all in the book. One intriguing thing that I remember was he said that it was their ancestors who led the tribes, Israeli tribes, through the desert for 40 years. And I asked him, what was the purpose? And this was a very intriguing answer. He said they told him that it was very important that one full generation pass before those ancient people be allowed to settle in a city again. Because those ancient people held so much negativity and vengeance that it from their group, it would have come a lot of dangerous activities that would have endangered, you know, the existence of our very planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, I mean, there could have been a possibility that we wouldn't have even met this great point of destiny, this great transition that is coming very soon now.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought this was so interesting. Anyway, what they told Dan was so interesting about how they are actually helping us along to make it through and helping as many people as possible to make it through this transition. Have you heard these things, you know, since your...
I've heard similar, you know, not right on, but I wanted to go back up real quick here. I had a whole bunch of... The last couple of shows, I had a whole bunch of, I printed out a lot of stuff off the computer, and I printed out a couple chapters of my book, Giving Up the Ghost, and one chapter was UFO and Me, and in it, that's where I had, where I was stationed at Ramstein Air Base, and I talk about that. But I also, in the eighth grade, I also witnessed three UFOs. Coming home one night, and then I wrote another chapter called Is 12-21-12 Doomsday. I've got a lot of things along that line, but everything you're talking about, I've heard just a little different. The thing about the 40 years, yeah, I heard about that, and then the angels, I had some discussions, as a matter of fact, earlier today, because in the beginning of the Bible, it conflicts with something Jesus said when the angels came down and they saw the daughters of men and they saw that they were fair and they took to themselves and they raised Eliams, I think it's pronounced, half angel, half Eliams, yeah, half angel, half human. And Jesus said later in the Bible that angels neither marry or take brides or to themselves. And then I was reading some stuff that these were actually aliens from other dimensions and planets that were doing this. And this is in Zachariah Sitchin's writings, Sitchin's, yeah, his writings on the Sumerians and how they call them the Anunnaki.
Anunnaki, right.
Yeah. And they were meant those that gods or something that come down from space, and they were really aliens. And then how many descriptions of UFOs? And then, okay, I forget. The man who wrote the book, Chariots of the Gods.
Eric
Fontanica. Yeah, I saw him on television a few months back, and he has a very incredible mind. This man really did some absolute incredible research. And then, you know, Tom Hanks is one of my favorite Hollywood actors. And he, when he first started out, he was a comic kind of actor. He did the Bosom Buddies with that other gentleman, and I forgot his name. And then he did two movies recently, Angels and Demons and The Da Vinci Code.
Right.
And both of them actually had even though they were Hollywood and people go and see them and make it's make-believe, a lot of it was actually what is happening in the world today about the Illuminati. And I have another lady who I've been talking with that I'm trying to bring onto the show. She does not want to talk about the Illuminati. I don't know why, but she just has her thing about it, you know. And I'm saying if you're going to talk about reality, you have to talk about all the things that encompass 12/21/12 if this is our narrative. And your book, it's a slam dunk as far as I'm concerned. It's right on the money. It tells what people need to know to begin their search for this transition to the next dimension. If they believe in God, because I don't know about you, but I seem to run across these people who don't believe in God. I have two very good friends who were both atheists. One is now a Christian. The other one, I'm praying for him. I'm hoping because I like Troy. He's a real great guy. I like him, you know. But I told him, you know, time is running out. You better hurry up and get your act together because, you know, we did not just pop into existence like a lot of these people who don't believe in God think, you know, that
right.
We just, you know, physicists, and this is another thing as far as 12/21/12, physicists have a real important part in explaining this because they are not like a lot of scientists who are atheists. These guys do believe in God because they believe that you cannot create something out of nothing.
Right.
So they diss
right.
all the other stuff. Plato said that the universe is too perfect for there not to be a true living God.
Right.
He sensed
But what's interesting is throughout history is recorded. UFOs are recorded. You can see it, spaceships in some of the Renaissance paintings.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You can go all the way back to the Neanderthal man in their
right,
caves.
They find drawings
on the caves. On the walls. They were the number one. They were the best stone. They had the best stone cutting between them and the Cro-Magnon. They were excellent stone cutters. And they did some not only horses and dogs and wolves and all that, but they did spaceships. And, yes, I'm Orthodox. And in several of the Orthodox countries, Yugoslavia and Greece, in the old churches from the 14th, 15th century, in fact, the guy that wrote Chariots of the Gods,
oh,
he
Von
pointed
Daniken.
I keep his name all gooped up. He showed in one of the on the cable network I was watching, in the churches they actually have what looked like UFOs.
Right. In my
on the,
book.
On the walls. And this is from the 13th, 14th, 15th century.
Right. In my book, I have a couple of chapters on the Egyptians with many images, which you can see in color on my site if you go to chapters at the top. And I explain that a lot of the Egyptian mysteries, they knew all about the other races who came. I show a picture of an alien spacecraft that they had, the Egyptians had drawn. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not from 500 years ago, 1500s. This is from thousands of years BC.
Right.
You know, like the, like the caves, the cave drawings.
Right. You're talking about 3500 BC. Right.
Right, right.
I've seen that stuff. That was on these, the cable programs have a lot of these on there. There's dozens of these new shows. But what was really interesting was, you know, a lot of stuff that we look at in mythology, like the Norse, the Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians, we think all of these were mythology. But according to, if you read Sitchin's books on the Sumerians, you can see how they integrated their desire to make slaves on Earth to work for them to do all this mining that they wanted. They were extracting gold from our planet.
And right. This is what Von Daniken has. I mean, Zachariah Sitchin has, thought about and deduced from his studies mm-hmm. of the ancient Sumerian Babylonian texts.
Right. And it just, you know, it's mind-boggling when you see a man with the head of an alligator or the head of an eagle or the head of a wolf. This is what they did in Egypt. And these were not, this was not mythology. This was the aliens tampering with the DNA of humans and animals. And you saw a lot of this in the writings. Ruth Montgomery spoke a lot about that in her books on Atlantis. And have you ever read anything on Ruth Montgomery?
Yes. Yeah.
My mom just loved her books.
I had a private library of spiritual and metaphysical books starting in the 60s.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about
them.
I don't
Montgomery,
think people
Gene Dixon,
know about them
Edgar
that much
Casey
anymore.
Were the only ones you could get.
Yeah, and it was a new subject back in those days. My mother, I guess you might say, was a little more open-minded than a lot because, and she would even say, don't tell people about this. People in those days, they just, they were not into what we are into today, and I think it's because of the speed of which things are happening. But the question I was going to comment when you were talking about the Akashic Records,
right?
Probably the most famous person who went into the Akashic Records was Edgar Casey.
Right.
And he really they've got a museum back in. I think it's Virginia Beach.
Right.
And I've been
wanting to go there.
If anybody really wants to know about is there a God, boy, go to Edgar Casey's museum there. Because this man, he knew about it. And like I told people that don't believe in God, when it's all over, it's too late. And you will regret that you didn't believe in God. It is a sad day in their life, or all their spirit.
Well, also, I wanted to tell people that the information in this book, the book contains information that you really need to know at this point in time. This is a pivotal moment in time. And in the book also is explained, given in instructions on how to prepare for those 3 days of darkness. And I want people to get their pen again and write down another site that they should do a search on and see a video. There is a man named Michael Tsarion, Tsarion, who has a video. Write down Michael, do a search on Michael Tsarion, Tsarion, and Photon Belt, Photon Belt, Photon Belt. He did a video that perfectly shows his own drawing of that wheel that I have in my book, and explains from a scientific angle that those 3 days of darkness is a time when we will be passing through a photon belt, what Princess Kaoru calls the Nuru. And it's while we're going through what Michael Tsarion says a photon belt is when we will be passing into the higher dimension. But the important thing I'm trying to say is, in my book, Exploring Sacred Space, I give exact instructions on how to prepare what you need to do during those 3 days of darkness. There will not be any electricity, no media, no communications, but the important thing that my professor said is that we need to stay inside and be happy. The important thing is not to freak out, just to know that this is like one big adventure. Mm-hmm. And when we come out, we will be much happier. The world will be much better. But whatever you do, be happy. My professor said to have candles stored up because there will be no electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, candles, flames exist on spiritual dimensions, and they call. They're like a beacon to higher beings, to call the presence of higher beings to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And he stressed singing songs a lot, telling stories, and just treating it like an adventure. But he also explained how it will be good to cover all windows and all openings to the outside and don't peek out. I explain this in the book, what exactly is needed. So these instructions are important. But, you know, what it made me think of was Lot's wife, when she looked and then turned into dust. There are specific instructions that will be important at this time. But the most important thing that I want to leave people with is that this is going to all work out. It will all be fine. And one of the important things will be to elevate your consciousness as much as you can. And in the book, like I said, I give instructions for meditation and for a form of meditation called transmission meditation. And perhaps another time we can talk about, you know, other things also and go into more depth.
Yeah, meditation is very important. In fact, I just got an email about prayer and meditation, how it's good for your health. And
right.
A lot of people are not, you know, into that, and they're not too healthy. But, yeah, God has a lot of different things that we can use to our advantage. It's just, you know, do you want to do it or don't you? The thing is, you know, there's so much information about the transition at 12/21/12. You know, again, we have Nibiru or Planet X. We have how the parallel universes are affecting us. I read, are you familiar with the Webbot?
Yes.
Okay. According to the information, the last piece of information I read on them was they said that from 12/21/12 until May of 2013, there will be a complete data blackout. They didn't give a date as to when.
Interesting.
Pardon?
So they're speaking about, in other words, days of darkness when there will be no electricity.
Right, but not only that, there'll be no internet, no television, no radio.
Right.
I think the only thing people can do is if they can store up like ham radios, but they're going to need solar packs, they're going to need solar batteries, solar chargers, and things like
they
that, because you're not going to be able to charge your batteries, you know, by plugging them in, because there ain't going to be no power plants. There ain't going to be no oil. There's not going to be nothing.
Right, exactly.
And so there's a lot of things that are, you know, to look forward to that people need to be prepared for. I was reading another article that said people need to start storing fresh water and food. And some of the food, you know, years ago, back in the 80s, I belonged to a company called, or I worked with a company called Eureka, Y-U-R-I-K-A. And they produced food that could be stored in a closet for up to 5 years. You know, you could put it in boiling water. You could put it in the microwave. Oven didn't matter to cook it. And this is what people need to do. They need to prepare their I guess there are reserves and everything right now. They need to start looking into that, because if we have a cataclysmic earthquake the way they're talking about, in volcanic eruptions, which is how you would end up with 3 days of darkness with volcanoes blowing off around the world. Some of these volcanoes are so huge and so big that when they go off, they go up 20 miles.
Right, right.
And that's
the
how
3 days of darkness will also have to do with passing through into a different dimension.
Oh,
so
is that
it'll
what you think?
Be,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where,
see, I'm looking at what I read an article, and I didn't read it on the air last week. I was about a volcano that scientists say may go off about that time this year. And I'm
right.
thinking, okay, you get that going, you get some earthquakes going, you get some tsunamis going, and you got some really hectic events. But if we're going to go through a different dimension and the planet goes through completely, hey, that would be, you know, a completely different scenario. I don't have the answers, and I'm not trying to scare people, but this is just what I've been coming up with. I've got, like I said, what I did was I created what I call the jigsaw puzzle. And basically, there are hundreds of items that I have actually put in this thing. And we did miss on the Stargate thing. I don't know if you want to take a few minutes to talk about your friend.
Well, you know, in the book, and I will say this, because I do want to mention this. I personally am sending out the first few books for a while myself, and I will personally sign them. And I am also taking a few dollars off. If you go to my site, exploringsacredspace.com, you can learn about the book. You can get links to the other interviews that I've had, learn about the book, and I will also give you money off. But
right.
Some
okay,
of the
folks,
information, some of the information in the book is from all kinds of people with in-depth information. Mm-hmm. I have met people from the original Stargate, you know, the original military Stargate, and they had over 24 degrees of top-level secrecy above the president. And one in particular explained to me how they all knew about the realities of UFOs.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they would have access to and work in really top secret facilities and have to go through rooms where aliens would be sitting there, and they would have to just act as if, you know, nothing out of the ordinary were happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke of the many different races that look, you know, very, very different from each other. But, you know, they're nothing to be freaked out about and scared about. And the basic message that I want to leave people with is this is, you know, a very important time. Something will be happening, but it's nothing to be afraid of. You know, we're going to make it through this. And I would encourage you to read the book to get all the information and the instructions that you need. And you're welcome to email me from my site.
Okay, everyone, you got that invitation. So get to the website and check that out. And get more information. Like I said, this book is right on the money. For the times, and Kristen, we're coming down to the last couple of minutes of our show, and basically, I want to thank you very much for being my special guest this evening, and I want to thank everyone for being with us, and you and I, of course, are going to talk some more, because we're going to have you back for the meditation, and maybe a follow-up on the transition and some other information that what I wanted to do is if I wanted to give some email addresses too, if people want to ask questions of Kristen, so that next time she's on there, and she's going to be back hopefully by the 30th. Does that sound good to you?
Sure.
Okay. My email address is, of course, jimfriedis@gmail.com. And if you want me to ask Kristen anything specific, I was going to open up the 800 number and have questions and ask. You know, you were so I don't know, it's just so informative. I couldn't ask the question for some reason.
Oh shoot!
And I'm going, you know, in an hour, you know, an hour, you just don't have enough time to cover everything.
Quickly.
You know, there's so much.
Well, how about next time we will set time aside for people to call in with questions.
I was going to set 7:30 on, and it just got to the point where you were so intriguing, you know, and I'm sure people who are listening are sitting on the edge of their seats listening to this, because it was really things that I mean, I heard some of the things you talked about with other places, but not everything. And it was just very educational, very informative, and I really loved it, and I hope my audience did too. I think they did.
Oh, good, good. Well, I look forward to coming back, and anyone can email you if they have questions,
right,
so that you have them ahead of time.
And of course, they have those people who are listening. You can, of course, get on my Facebook and Skype. If you're on Skype, You get right to my BBS network. You come right to me, and you get right to my Facebook, and we can communicate. So maybe I'll get – you're on Facebook, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can link your Facebook to Skype. That's a beautiful thing about Skype. And so I'm going to say goodnight to all of our listeners, and a special thank you to our special guest, Kristen Ann.
And, well, it's been a pleasure, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Oh, we'll talk very soon. I'll be giving you a call during the week.
Okay, great. Take care.
Okay, good night, Kristen.
Good night.
Good night, folks.